Welcome to St. Louis on the Air. For years, the city of St. Louis has been both working for and hoping for a downtown residential renaissance. Great strides have been made as a vibrant loft district has emerged with expanding ground-level infrastructure. The downtown residential population has grown significantly, but is it all it could or should be? Critics cite concerns about crime, schools, lack of supportive residential services. Supporters cite convenience, walkability, and lively ambience. Here is a taste of what people are saying about downtown.
I love the diversity that you get here. I love that you can walk everywhere that you need to go for the most part.
There's a walk of all different lives. There's people that you don't know what they're doing, you know, but it's all in great diversity.
There are only a few thousand residents down here, especially in the Washington area, so it's a kind of a small community feel. You get to know everybody.
It's fabulous. It's always something to do. I love it.
I actually like the structural setup of St. Louis, and it's a historical town.
A lot of ready accessibility to clubs and taverns, restaurants, that sort of thing. And then you got your certain amount of cultural availability within easy access. I get asked for handouts a lot.
Other than watering holes, there's really nothing open after 10 o'clock down here. I work in a restaurant, so I come home late a lot, and it's just, you know, you're always looking over your shoulder.
So, is downtown living up to expectations? Where do perception and reality intersect or not intersect? And what's the future like for downtown living? I'm Don Marsh. That's what we're talking about on today's program. And with me in studio is Missy Kelly, the Senior Director of Communications and Community Development for the Partnership for Downtown St. Louis. Its mission is to promote economic development downtown and promote it as a place to live, work, play, and, of course, to invest. Rick Worthen is a downtown resident. He's lived there for almost a decade. And Jason Rosenbaum is a reporter with the St. Louis Beacon. He has done extensive research on and written about downtown living. Thank you all so much for being with us. Nice to have you. Let me start with you, Missy. I'd like to get a reaction from each of you to what you just heard with regard to those comments about downtown. What caught your ear?
Diversity. And I think that, you know, there's been a perception over the years that downtown is a place where young people are living only. And, you know, that's not necessarily the case. There are empty nesters that live downtown. There are young couples. There are families that live downtown. And there are, you know, there's diversity in economic status and in demographics. So,
all right. Well, Rick, let me turn to you. You've been there for a while.
Yeah, and I have to pretty much agree with what Missy said. And my wife and I decided to move out. We lived in Edwardsville for 15 years or so. Kids grew up, decided to sell the house. And we were looking for a place to go and, you know, maybe get the city life. And they'd really done a lot of work, I think, in recent years to really make it attractive to even someone who's older like myself. We decided to pack up, move downtown, and we enjoy the city life. As far as nightlife goes, I'm a little older, so I'm not quite into the Washington Street crowd, but we do enjoy going to the ball games, into the restaurants, and, you know, and even going out a little further to the Muni and things of that nature, the Fox.
Do you find that your neighbors and friends downtown feel pretty much the same way?
Yeah, I think so. In our building, I live in Park Pacific, and we have a diversity, as Missy pointed out, of people living there. I mean, there's a number of 20-somethings, I think, as well as 30s, and quite a few even our age, and, you know, 40s and 50s. So it's getting fairly diverse, and the people seem to really enjoy it there.
Yeah. Jason, let me turn to you. You've looked at this extensively.
Well, the thing that caught my attention was the word community, because if you stretch back a couple of decades, the thought of a lot of people living downtown, I don't want to say it was unimaginable, but I don't think that was the first thing you thought of when you thought of downtown St. Louis. You thought of a traditional business district. In the last 10 years, as a lot of these buildings that had essentially been warehouses and used for other things been transformed into residential property, especially along Washington Avenue, you have had and seen an increase in people living downtown. And I think that's had a reciprocal effect on downtown's character, whether it be the fact that there's now a grocery store there, Culinaria, there's now a movie theater there, there are now all these bars and restaurants that cater to people that live there. I think that the fact that there are even a small community, as was said, I think it's, you know, grown any way you slice it, I think that has changed the way people perceive it as a community, as a residential area.
Before we go too much beyond where we are right now, we'd better define downtown, because there are a couple of different definitions that I'm aware of. I kind of like yours, to be perfectly honest. Tell us what your definition of downtown is.
There's a Jason Rosenbaum definition of downtown.
In the article, whose byline is Jason Rosenbaum, you give your definition.
I think there are two neighborhoods that are defined by the U.S. Census. One is called downtown, and one is called downtown west. Now, Missy and the partnership see it as a much broader and larger map that encompasses parts of Carr Square and Columbus Square, and I hope I'm getting the neighborhood names
right. That's right, yeah.
And either way you look at it, the population has gone up. If you look at the census figures on the city's website, either by percentage or amount, they went up from 2000 to 2010, and the partnership has been tracking population that it's also been trending upward no matter which map you look at. But I know this, how you define downtown is kind of a fun game. All I can tell you is it's not St. Louis Hills where I live, and it's not the Central West End. It is a defined compact area.
Missy, which is the most vibrant area? Is it west, or is it that downtown area which is east of Tucker?
Well, we define downtown as between North and South Cass and Shoto, and then from the river to Jefferson. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's a lot of vibrancy throughout all pockets of that area. Yes, Washington Avenue is the one that comes up a lot, right? Because it was the first really, you know, redeveloped area where people started to move and all the restaurants and bars opened up. But, I mean, if you look at, where close to Tucker, where the Park Pacific building is, and now we've got Ballpark Village opening up. I mean, it's really, it is not just Washington Avenue. And I think that's another thing that affects the perception of downtown that, you know, I think, you know, to Jason's point, people are starting to think about it differently than they had in the past, more like a neighborhood and more like a community. But I think, you know, they're also maybe looking at one segment, which is Washington Avenue, which was the first one to really kind of grow and be vibrant.
I think that's why a lot of people think of downtown. Again, the parameters of the borders that you cite, Jason, would be Cass and Shoto, north and south, and the river and Tucker, east and west.
I suppose that's what I wrote, but I'm forgetful of what I write sometimes. But that seems pretty much the case.
Just so that we have those definitions in mind. I would like to also direct people to our website at stlpublicradio.org, where we have a front page set up today, which is interactive, which goes through all the population demographics and the maps and specifies these two areas that we're talking about. But we'll, for the sake of our conversation, we'll go from the river to Jefferson, okay, and let it go with that. Why is a downtown population, Missy, so important, a downtown residential population?
Well, it's part of what makes a downtown the hub of the region. So if we just had a central business district where it was just businesses and then everybody rolled up the sidewalks at 5 o'clock and went home, that would not be if you look at downtowns across the country and really the regions that are successful, they have a really vibrant downtown that includes not only, you know, great business, but people living down there, retail, dining. It truly does become a community. And without the residents, it is a business district that rolls up the sidewalks at 5 o'clock. And that is, we are far from that. We, you know, at one time we had gotten there. We had kind of devolved to that point, and we certainly have revitalized over the last, you know, 5 years at least, with, you know, $5 billion of investment and all of this residential development.
But you need the commercial enterprises, too. I mean, Macy's is leaving. They're shuttering that building. Who knows? Maybe it'll be a loft establishment at some time.
Well, I think that's a great point to bring up because, you know, Macy's, I think we're all a little nostalgic about that, you know, what it's meant to us growing up over the years. But the truth of it is, and if you look at downtowns across the country, department stores, with very few exceptions, no longer are in vibrant downtown areas. It's no longer a relevant concept to downtown. Retailers that thrive in downtown communities are retailers that are targeted to the people that are living down there. They're smaller, boutiques. They're just not big, large department stores any longer. And really, while it is, you know, sad, I guess, to some people, and, you know, it's the end of an era, so to speak, there's really an opportunity there to do more, you know, mixed use, you know, add some more residential, but then also different types of more relevant retail for downtown.
And I talked with people from a wide spectrum for the story, for official people like Mayor Slay to people who take a critical eye of development in general, like Michael Allen of the Preservation Research Office. And not one person made the argument that Macy's closing was somehow an indictment on downtown's progress or development. It certainly, I don't want to say that a longtime store closing is something to celebrate about. But when you look at that specific situation, first of all, they say that the store itself didn't do enough to market to the specific clientele. Number two, it shrunk over the years and didn't really make itself a different store, not only to the clientele, but an attraction. And number two, it is just number three, I'm getting my numbers mixed up. The changing economies of department stores downtown is something that's happening all across the nation. And just because that building is in such a prime location downtown, I think it'll eventually be filled. And what it gets filled with is kind of a fun, fantastical guessing game at this point. But I don't know if you can really extrapolate, you know, broader conclusions from that closing.
So. I'm wondering about tax revenue to the city. I mean, that was a pretty big establishment, generated certainly some significant commerce.
I would imagine so. And I think that probably will have a lot to do with what eventually goes there. I know the idea of a city target has been thrown about a lot. I don't know whether it's going to be exactly that specific place, but I think since it is in such a prime location, it will be filled with something. And whether it's something retail like you know, something like that, or whether it's a mixed use development, I think will just remain to be seen at this point. So
go ahead, Missy.
I think another important thing to your question about why it's important to have residents downtown is that in attracting and retaining businesses, one of the things that is important is that, you know, we want companies to be downtown that that draw on the residents that live downtown. So, you know, we've got some great startups like a Locker Dome is a really, you know, kind of locally and becoming more nationally famous. And, you know, the type of people, the demographic, the talent that works at that company are the type of people that want to live downtown. So, again, I think that it helps in both bringing businesses and retaining businesses. And it's cyclical. Also, the businesses that we bring down here will also help retain residents and bring residents down here as well. And so, again, Macy's is a great opportunity to open up and see what, you know, what else we can bring down here.
Rick, before I take a break, let me turn to you. Did you shop at Macy's?
I went in there a few times, not a lot.
Where do you do your department-type store shopping?
My wife likes to go to the malls. So, and a lot of that has to do, I think, with just our upbringing and from, you know, many years ago, from our experiences. That's where we always went. I was born and raised in Illinois, so we go to Fairview Heights. We still go there quite a bit, but we have branched out and gone to other stores, and I have been in Macy's a few times.
But you could walk to Macy's from where you live, but
that's correct.
People coming from outside of the city going to Macy's have to find a place to park, and
yes,
we all know what kind of problem that
right.
is. Are you happy with the supportive services that are available to you downtown? I mean, you don't go to the bars, you say, and the nightlife is not as attractive. What about, you know, your grocery shopping and going to the dry cleaners and having your shoes repaired?
Yes, that was an issue not that many years ago, but with Culinaria moving in, that's helped us out tremendously. And there's other places that have opened up down there just in recent years. I've seen almost a resurgence, I think, of downtown in the past several years. Because 15, 20 years ago, if you'd have said, hey, Rick, you want to go move downtown? No way.
You're happy. You're
very
happy with the
now.
Way
that, yes,
that
it's, all I is think everything is going in the right direction. Yeah.
Okay. Got to take a break now. We'll come back and talk about some of these specific things that people are chatting about with regard to downtown living, whether they live downtown or not. People do have their perceptions. My guests in studio are Missy Kelly with the Partnership for Downtown St. Louis, Rick Worthen, from whom you just heard, is a downtown resident. Also with us in studio is Jason Rosenbaum, a reporter for the St. Louis Beacon. We're talking about downtown living. Is it living up to expectations? And we'll continue that conversation in just a moment. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU. Hello again and welcome back as we continue our conversation about downtown living. And my guests in studio are Missy Kelly, who is with the Partnership for Downtown St. Louis. Jason Rosenbaum is a reporter for the St. Louis Beacon, who's written a lot about what's going on downtown. And Rick Worthen is with us. He has been a resident for almost a decade in downtown St. Louis. Talk about a couple of issues now. And the first one that always comes to mind, whether we're talking about people in the city or people outside of the city who have their own perceptions about what's going on, is the issue of crime. Before we get in on that, I'd like to bring Chief Dotson of the St. Louis Police Department in on it. He was on the program a little while back, and he's talking about crime in general in St. Louis. But to set up what we're going to be talking about, let's listen to what he had to say about crime overall in the city.
The city of St. Louis is now safer than it was in 1970. Just to give you an example, in the last couple of years, crime in the city of St. Louis is down 46% since 2006. That's a significant reduction, but it doesn't get reported in the mainstream media because there are consultants that come in that drive the conversation. TV stations need to make money. They make money by having viewers, and so they want something that's sensationalized at the beginning of their newscast. Hey, crime is down in the city of St. Louis for the first 8 months. It's down over 8%. That's on top of a 12.5% reduction last year. So crime is headed in the right direction.
Crime is headed in the right direction overall, and we'll be talking with Circuit Attorney Jennifer Joyce in a couple of moments about her perceptions of crime downtown. But let me just read you a portion of an email that we received from Julie. She lives downtown despite having been mugged there. Here's what she says. She loves working there, loves being down there. She is supportive of that decision every day that she and her husband live there since this incident. About a year and a half ago, my husband and I were both mugged at gunpoint while walking back from dinner one block off of Washington Avenue. We were robbed of everything, including my brand new engagement ring, but we were not robbed of our lives, thankfully. While family and friends urged us to move away from downtown, I viewed it as more of a reason to be downtown and join the collaborated effort to help prevent those kinds of crimes happening to other hopeful residents such as ourselves. This is a big perception, Missy. A lot of people look right at this, at stories like this, and say, I ain't going there.
Right. And I think, you know, one of the things is that as downtown becomes a destination, as it becomes a place that people want to, you know, come down to drink, eat, dine, shop, et cetera. And we've seen a huge, you know, growth in that. You know, it's a lot of people in one place, especially when we talk about during events, after events, you know, later night hours and that. And, you know, this year we have done a lot to address hotspot areas where people are coming. So when there are large groups of people, we've ramped up security. The partnership in collaboration with the City of St. Louis and the Metropolitan Police Department worked on a plan to increase both on-duty and off-duty police service to make sure that we've got it covered and that not only Washington Avenue or that specific area is being, you know, covered, that the rest of downtown is not being, you know, left out because everybody's focused on downtown. And it has been very successful this summer. But I agree, it's a perception problem.
Yeah, there's also crime in Clayton and Wentzville
and
every place. Jason, what's your take on that? What did you find out about that perception?
Well, I think that there's a general perception that St. Louis City as a whole is unsafe. You talk with people in Kansas City or Columbia, they view it that way, even if they don't really have any evidence to support that. And before I cite any statistics, I always have to preface this with kind of words that Craig Schmidt, an alderman, told me when I was talking with him about the neighborhoods that encompass Cherokee Street. Statistics may show a downward trend, but if you're a victim of a crime, it doesn't really matter. So I want to preface that because I think that's a good thing to say. If you look at crime and the amount of crimes and compare it from year to year, and a lot of neighborhoods in St. Louis City, they are down depending on where you go. I think with downtown in particular, I think it usually there's a lot of burglaries and car thefts that are down there. But as Missy kind of said, there has been this conscientious effort to try and combat that. There was a press conference where I think Missy was actually there. I think a lot of it just comes to being, you know, smart in some sense. When you are in an area where there are a lot of people, you probably shouldn't leave, you know, a cell phone out where someone could break in and see it. I think that's anywhere, though. That could happen, as you said, in Clayton or Wentzville or any place like that. So it's always a complicated issue to talk about because statistics don't always tell the whole story per se. But a lot of things have happened and in a direction that is probably positive in general when you look at fact-based statistics as opposed to perceptions.
Before I go to Jennifer Joyce, Rick, let me turn to you. Are you in any sense afraid ever downtown?
No, I'm not. Now, my wife does have a fear after baseball games sometimes walking home. I don't really know why. I don't feel that same way. And there's a lot of people, you know, moving about and going the same direction we are, as a matter of fact. I think they've Chief Dotson has done a good job, myself, of addressing these issues and trying to combat them. Like Jason mentioned, it's always an issue. And like you said, Wentzville doesn't matter. Any big city in the country has crime to deal with. But I think overall, it's a positive.
And, of course, the more people you have moving around, the less is the opportunity for people to commit a crime. And they're not likely to do it where there's a crowd.
But, right.
Oh, agreed.
Let me go now to Circuit Attorney Jennifer Joyce. You might be surprised at some of the things that she has to say about downtown. I talked to her earlier this week, and we got into the whole issue of perception versus reality.
Definitely a perception versus reality problem. And while I don't live downtown, I spend an awful lot of time downtown. And my office prosecutes crimes from all over the city, including the downtown neighborhood. And I can tell you that the perception is much worse than the reality in downtown.
Well, why is that, do you think?
I don't know. I know some people in law enforcement are frustrated that there's a perception that crimes that occur in the city tend to get more prominence in the media than crimes in the county. I'm not sure. There's one or two high-profile incidents occur downtown, and that for some reason people start thinking that that's the norm down here, and it's really not.
One of the things I see is that when people hear that there has been a crime committed in St. Louis, automatically I think that means downtown St. Louis.
Yeah, that could be too. And as you know, downtown is a relatively small area. You know, I reviewed what cases we have pending in our office from downtown in preparation for our conversation today, and actually downtown looks a lot better than some areas of the city like the Central West End and Lafayette Square and areas that I think have a better perception as far as crime is concerned. Downtown actually has less crime.
What sort of crimes dominate those that you prosecute?
Of the cases we have open right now that occurred in 2013, and I have to stop and remind everybody that for us to have cases, that means there's a crime committed and the police arrested someone. So crimes that are committed where there's no arrest, I would not have those. Mm-hmm. But the cases that we have open where someone has been arrested and charged, actually half of those occurring inside the Justice Center. Where one inmate assaults another, you know, we prosecute those cases, but they show up on the downtown crime stats. A lot of them are misdemeanors, and I think that probably the number one challenge that downtown has right now, and it's the same challenge that's happening around the city, is the car break-ins, the property crimes. And
we've certainly seen a lot of those just over this past weekend, in Forest Park in particular.
There definitely seems to be a trend where those are on the increase, and those are really frustrating cases. A lot of people talk to me about, you know, do we need tougher laws, and it's really not a law issue. We have plenty tough laws on the books to handle those cases. In fact, it just became a felony to break into a car. As of last year, last August, the law changed and it went from a misdemeanor to a felony. So the laws are tough. The problem with the car break-ins is actually catching someone in the act and being able to have enough evidence to charge them. And it's a combination of, I think, having good surveillance cameras and having people in the right place at the right time to see this, and then witnesses and victims wanting to come forward and cooperate with law enforcement so we can build our case. They're difficult cases because it is so quick that you can break into a car and get away. It's often that the police aren't able to catch the person who did it.
What about the incidents of violent crime downtown?
Violent crimes are actually pretty rare as well. I noticed that we only have 3 robberies right now that are pending in our office from downtown that we've issued in this year in 2013. And that is less than other neighborhoods that people would probably consider much safer than downtown. You know, you have a high-profile shooting sometimes, like recently the shooting at Keener Plaza. You know, I don't think I'm telling tales out of school when I say that that involved a lot of alcohol and 2 people that knew each other, and it was kind of a drunken fight situation. the type of crime where someone who's a completely innocent victim, you know, or just a resident minding their own business, is really pretty rare downtown.
I asked this of the chief of police the other day. We have been given the designation of most dangerous city, or very close to it, on a number of occasions. What do you think when you hear that designation?
Well, I think a couple of things. Number one, I think it's well known that kind of statistical analysis, if you could even call it that, is pretty bogus when you apply it to the city of St. Louis, because you're basically just taking a part of the metropolitan area and looking at that separate and distinct from the rest of the area. And it's not a fair way to compare St. Louis's crime with the crime of other cities. But having said that, I'm not usually one to talk about how crime is down and crime statistics are improving, because I've never met a victim of crime who cares really that much about crime statistics. You know, St. Louis has too much crime, and not downtown, but everywhere in St. Louis. We have too much crime. We have too much gun crime, too much violent crime. And so it matters less to me how we compare to other cities than it does as to, are we the best city that we can be? And I think we have some opportunity to improve the level of violent crime in the city in general.
I'll wrap this up by asking you, you're a lifelong resident of the city of St. Louis with maybe an occasional absence. How have you seen downtown change over your adult life?
Oh, I can hardly believe it. When I first graduated college, actually before I graduated college, I had a job working downtown as a proof operator at Mercantile Bank, and I worked until like 2 o'clock in the morning, and I didn't have a car, and I had to take a bus home at that time. And being downtown at 2 o'clock in the morning was nothing but adult bookstores. It was like no one was there. It was completely different than what downtown is like now. And when I walk around downtown, and I do a lot, I've worked downtown for the past 20 years or longer, I can't get over how much it's changed. It's just a fantastic area of the city. It's just a gem. And, you know, I certainly wouldn't hesitate to live downtown. It's really a remarkable change in this neighborhood over my lifetime.
That's St. Louis City Circuit Attorney Jennifer Joyce talking about what's going on from her perspective in downtown St. Louis. Missy, I'm sure you have to be very happy with the way that Jennifer Joyce made the case there.
I am. And I think she raised a point that actually circles back to what we started talking about, which is what is downtown? In the perception that if there's a crime in the city, then that must mean downtown. And to be fair, it is not uncommon for a crime that occurred outside of the downtown boundaries to be reported as a crime that took place downtown. I see it all the time that here we are downtown and it's not downtown. So it's not just the, you know, general population that needs to be kind of educated on what we mean by downtown. But, you know, the media hasn't necessarily helped us out in that regard either.
Your organization is saying that the downtown residential growth is growing by about 500 a year. It has been for several years.
Yes.
What about the occupancy rate in the town?
Our numbers show that the occupancy rate is over 90%. So that number comes from us. We contact all of the developers and building owners and ask them, what is, you know, how many vacancies do you have? We do that every year. And our occupancy rate at this point, based on that data, is over 90%. And to your point, we've added 500 residents per year.
We've done some calculations here with regard to Census Bureau data, and the occupancy rate comes up to about 71%. I'm wondering why this disparity.
Yeah, I think the disparity, again, comes from how do you define downtown? And actually, we've been working with the Census Bureau on helping them get some of those statistics as well, because we're often able to get a hold of some of these developers and find out what's going on. So we've actually started to partner with them to help, you know, reconcile these numbers and make sure that we're all getting something accurate.
Jason, what does your research show about families coming into the city? Both Rick and Missy have alluded to the fact there are families here. I think another perception is that families are few and far between.
Well, I think there is this perception that, you know, downtown is this place where young, cool, hip people go. I wouldn't know because I'm none of those things anymore.
I don't live there either, Jason.
But I do think, like, there are a lot of young professionals that live downtown. But I do think that there are things that are there which are becoming more family-oriented, not only just, you know, a simple thing like a grocery store, and a very nice grocery store, by the way, and entertainment things like a movie theater, But I believe there's going to be actually a school that's going to be opening. I'm not sure if it's a traditional school or whether it's a charter school. But that sort of thing becomes more attractive for families because that type of basic infrastructure is needed for residential growth to flourish. You see that, you know, in my neighborhood in St. Louis Hills, you have all of those things. You have a grocery store, you have schools nearby, both private and public. And I think once those types of things get in place and get developed and more retail comes, that's probably when you're going to see more diversified things like families come about. So,
go ahead.
And education-wise to that point, so Lafayette Preparatory Academy is opening this month, and it's going to be ages K through 5. This year it'll start with K through 2nd grade and then add a year every year till 5. So to Jason's point, it's going to give people opportunities, options now that their children are school age, where do I go? But we also have language immersion schools for that younger population. And then, as you know, we've got SLU Law that just moved down here. Webster's here. Lindenwood's here. So that educational infrastructure is very important to establishing and retaining downtown as a residential community.
We have asked the question through Twitter, what would make a better downtown St. Louis? And to your point here, Missy, Dylan writes, more college satellite campuses, young people are the key. And we have a couple of others I'll read here just so we can bring this into the conversation. Hassan writes, more people, which will lead to more everything. Tom writes, not enough places to live for a reasonable price. More residential needed now, more residential property, I guess, needed now. I don't care about crime. I can handle myself.
I think one point to the different price points and is that, you know, one of the goals that we have is to diversify options in both style and price point downtown. So right now we have a bunch of lofts, right? So we're our goal, and as some of these new developments, we've got the Roberts Tower, the old post office tower coming on, Millennium at 6th and Olive, and the chemical lofts that'll be coming on. Now looking at more traditional apartments versus just lofts, high-end spaces with high-end finishes, and then, you know, potential for townhomes and that. So that's going to be important so that you can, again, establish that diverse community.
But as this takes off, that's going to drive the price up. Is that something, Rick, that you might be worried about, that this is going to become too successful?
Yeah, I do have a budget, so there is a limit to what I'll spend for an apartment.
But this is the way it happens, Missy and Jason, isn't it? I mean, the more popular a place becomes, inevitably and invariably, the price goes up for people who want to live there.
I guess that is the law of supply and demand in a nutshell. I do think one of the overall goals, as Missy said, is to have new construction kind of pop up downtown, especially of residential buildings. Because, you know, while lofts are a certain type of place that people like to live, there are probably people that want to live in different types of apartments that aren't historic renovations. So that could be something that comes when the economy starts to go upward, for sure.
Sure. The economy and the bust in 2008 certainly didn't help places like St. Louis.
It certainly didn't, but to our surprise, we continued to add 500 residents per year. Did they shifted from purchasing condominiums to renting, but there was still the draw.
I would direct people to our website, stlpublicradio.org, where we have a lot of work has gone into this, too, where we have a page that is devoted to the demographics and what's going on, construction, where it's happening, that sort of thing. Easier, I think, for people to digest that way than perhaps if we just talk about it. We have to take another break. We will do that and come back and pursue more talk with regard to downtown development and residential living. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU. And welcome back. Before we continue our conversation on downtown living with Missy Kelly of the Partnership for Downtown St. Louis, Jason Rosenbaum of the St. Louis Beacon, and Rick Wortham, downtown resident, here are the headlines of the stories that our public radio newsroom is following today. It's the first day of school in the Francis Howell School District, including all the Normandy students who have transferred there. There is more flash flooding expected in south-central Missouri today. And Illinois is releasing a report today showing a record number of children killed by confirmed abuse or neglect in the state of Illinois. These stories and more this afternoon on St. Louis Public Radio and throughout the day at stlpublicradio.org. The subject of schools came up a moment ago, and I think this is another one of those things that we have to talk about because I know a lot of people, a lot of families, folks with kids who would like to come down in St. Louis and live in a city environment say, no way, the city's public school system just doesn't cut it for me. Missy, that's a perception and a reality at the same time, isn't it?
Yes, it is. I totally agree. And again, I think, you know, opening charter schools is one way that, you know, we can address that. I think another way is that you know, if people, you know, I actually went to private schools my whole life, and, you know, as an adult decided, you know what, I want to be part of the public school system and help make that better, rather than and choose an alternative. And I think that as people move downtown and you know, can choose, they can certainly choose the charter schools. But, you know, I think it's going to take people committed to helping improving, you know, that quote from the woman that was mugged, who said, you know what, I'm not running, I'm going to stick it out. And this is going to be a place that I'm going to live and I'm not going to run. And I think that that's part of what's going to happen to help improve the public school system in St. Louis.
And I think that's a question not only for downtown, but the entire city, even nice areas like Southwest St. Louis, people sure. probably who have income that could move into a place like that may choose St. Louis County for those reasons. But you know, not to say that there aren't serious issues with the St. Louis public school system, but there are options available within that public school system which are attractive to a lot of people. You mentioned the language immersion schools. That's getting a lot of positive buzz. There are magnet schools, like I think Central High School or Metro High School is considered one of the best high schools in the state. So there are obviously systemic issues. It's a partially accredited district. We can't paper over that or say that that's not an issue or a problem. But I think if there are more options, like I just mentioned, within the public sphere that continue to emerge over the next few years, that may make it more attractive for people to move to the city. I mean, that's something my wife and I are thinking of right now when we're thinking of buying a house, for sure.
So. And that's not an issue, obviously, with you, Rick. But as you say, your kids are your empty nesters. Your kids are
yes, gone. We are. However, I do remember when we moved from Granite City actually to Edwardsville, my kids were 4 and 2 years old. One of the main things we looked at was the area, you know, were there a lot of kids that they could play with, and the schools. And the schools was very high on our list. So, you know, I understand anyone, young couple now, if they want to look at moving into the city, schools are everything.
I want to get our audience into this conversation as quickly as I can, but there's one other thing I wanted to touch upon because it's an issue that is raised from time to time, and that is the question of the homeless downtown, vagrants downtown. It is an issue. I hear complaints about it all the time. We also have a comment from Chief Dotson on that. Let's listen to him, and then we'll discuss it.
The city of St. Louis becomes a repository for the region's homelessness. When communities look to rid themselves of homeless, they simply ship them to St. Louis because downtown, as she mentioned, New Life Evangelistic Center, St. Patrick Center, the Bridge, all of the service providers are located in the urban core. Being homeless is not a crime. Urinating in public, littering, a variety of things, drinking in public, all of those are activities that homeless engage in. But the piece that we're missing is a significant portion of the population of homeless people in the city of St. Louis have mental illness, aren't receiving the proper supervision, the proper care that they need.
Missy, I'll throw it your way again. As the representative for the partnership, this an issue for you?
Absolutely. And I think I totally agree that, you know, downtown is serving a disproportionate number of people who are homeless compared to the rest of the region. First of all, I think that we've done a great job managing acute homelessness. I think the St. Patrick Center is an example of a wonderful model that works there. I think chronic homelessness is a very complex issue. It's one that, you know, the mayor has a long-term plan to end chronic homelessness. My opinion is that this model for ending long-term homelessness needs to be both compassionate and effective. And I think that, you know, that is not an easy solution or an easy thing to solve.
Is it an issue for you, Rick?
Not really. Where I live, there's a park right across the street. And, yes, I do see a number of homeless people there. But I'm kind of – it doesn't deter me from wanting to live downtown. But it is, I think, an issue that needs to be addressed. But I don't think the answers are simple.
Right. Okay. We have some callers, but I want to get to one email first. We alluded to this before, but maybe we can give it in more detail a response. I've worked downtown for many years. I've seen improvements, but see issues too. Can you ask your guests about Roberts Towers, the huge empty building in the heart of downtown? What's going to happen with it?
Well, that is actually now called the old post office, the OPO Tower, and it has been purchased and is going to be a residential facility. It's a beautiful building, and the development on that has already begun. So within the next 12 months, that should be opening.
Okay. Well, it's good news, I'm sure, for the writer. Let's bring in Barbara, who's calling from the Tower Grove neighborhood, somewhat outside of the downtown limits. But go ahead, Barbara.
A little bit outside, but I think, you know, my story is indicative of your topic today. I was born in the suburbs. I was raised in the suburbs. I was married for a very long time in the suburbs, and I never felt at home. And 4 years ago, I moved into the city, and I was just sitting on my porch this morning looking around this lovely neighborhood, just thinking how much I love where I live. And it's not perfect. In December, my neighbor had a gun pulled on her by somebody wanting her cell phone or her purse. She had neither on her, so thank God he turned around and ran. But that's what I love about living in the city is the variety and the richness and the realness of it. I refer to the suburbs as vinyl villages. I always will, and I will never go back.
Oh, go ahead, Missy.
So I just wanted to make one comment about that. You know, she's not in the limits of downtown. And what I wanted to say about that is that, you know, I know we're focused on downtown, but what's really super important is that we are connected to our neighbors and to our other communities. I mean, part of being a vibrant downtown is having accessibility to, you know, all of the areas around us. So we are neighbors. We are one community. And, you know, it's just great to hear people that aren't necessarily in these boundaries still owning, you know, what happens downtown. And I think, frankly, it's important for people across the region in the county to also, you know, feel some ownership about downtown because it's truly the face of our region. It is what is going to draw businesses to St. Louis, and we need that as a region.
Well, St. Louis is a city of neighborhoods, and that doesn't mean that they have to be separate. They're all part of a whole, right? Okay, Jason, go ahead.
Well, yeah, I always like to bring up that point, and we were talking about this kind of offline, that there is this perception that downtown is St. Louis City when it's obviously much more complicated than that. It's a city of rich historic neighborhoods, but I think the overall question is whether downtown's development is going to have a ripple effect not only on those other neighborhoods and not only on the city, but the entire region, which is why I think there has been kind of this push toward, you know, closer cooperation between the city and the county, whether it be through Proposition P and the so-called arch tax. I put those in quotes because I know a lot of people don't like it to say that way, or just new economic development initiatives. And a lot of that may end up having benefits to downtown St. Louis and in their part, or for their hope, the entire region. So,
all right. Any other comment to that? Let's take a call from Steve, calling from Lindenwood Park. Go ahead, Steve.
Yes, you brought up accessibility earlier in the hour. I was just wondering if there was any discussion or complaints about the traffic signals. It seems like they're synchronized, but in a way that it's very slow to get east to west or north to south. Just a simple complaint.
Okay, well,
I'm not an expert on traffic signals, but I'm assuming that that's a situation that's citywide. I've heard complaints about traffic signals in every part of the city. I don't know.
Yeah, I totally agree.
Yeah, there are times when it frustrates the living heck out of me too.
Yeah.
When I'm hitting red, go from one red to another red, and then there's other times actually, since I have to come down Tucker when I come home from work in the evening. They've got them synchronized, so almost you hit one green, you can almost hit them all. So it depends on the time of day, but yeah, there's times it's like, oh my gosh, I'm never going to get anywhere.
Missy, is the trolley going to help? And I'm calling it a trolley. Yeah. I also call it a streetcar, but I like calling it a trolley.
So there is an initiative in place to, we're pursuing bringing a downtown streetcar or trolley. We call it a streetcar because it's like a modern trolley, basically. It's, you know, fast and it's
Tell that to Judy Garland.
It's not historic. It's serious transit that can connect downtown, you know, all the way out to the Central West End, which would connect like the, you know, major employment districts in the city. Not only that, it would connect the people living downtown and in the city to the largest healthcare center of St. Louis. So certainly it would help. It could also help with economic development along that route. That said, we have a great transit system right now in place with Metrolink and with the buses. I think that, you know, another perception or maybe just St. Louis thing is that not everyone's comfortable with public transportation. And I think that we've come a long way, but we still have a ways to go.
Right. I have an email here from Glenn. I'm going to Bridget somewhat, some of the places that are affordable have, quote, income guidelines, unquote, that do not allow people to live there because they have a decent paying job. He says he makes a little more money than the income guidelines will allow him to live where he wants to live. What about that? Jason?
Is that kind of a reference to the arts loft type of thing? I mean, different places
he
are going
to have— He does mention artist loft
yeah,
later on.
Yeah, different lofts are going to have different price settings depending on a lot of different things. I'm not really, just like with streetlights, I'm not an expert on specific apartment complexes, but I'm sure that there are differences depending on a lot of different things. So.
Yeah.
All right. Shall we leave it at that? Okay. Let's take a call from Ed. I have two Eds on the line. I want to talk to the one who wants to reference the Arch Grounds. Ed, are you there?
Yes.
Go ahead.
Hey, I'm just very excited about the Arch. I don't know if you mentioned it in the program yet because I turned on midway. But I understand that there's 2 million or more visitors that go to the Arch, but right now 80% of them just go to the Arch parking garage and come back and don't do anything in downtown or any other part of St. Louis, whereas now they're going to be tearing down that garage and opening up the lid to downtown, over 70 to downtown, so people will be parking downtown, and all those visitors will be swarming around downtown. So I'm very excited about that. I wonder if you had any comments about that. Can I add one other side comment about something else?
Go ahead.
Totally different. A negative thing for me is the wonderful new library, the wonderful new refurbished library I love, but I've gone in there recently, and it's like being in a bus depot. It is so noisy. There's so many people talking on cell phones, so many people talking at the top of their lungs all over the place.
Ed, that's an issue, I think, for the library people, not for the folks we have
here. They may need to shush some of those people more. But the Arch Ground situation, it's not necessarily a downtown living situation, but it is connected to the development of downtown. And while not everybody agrees with the course that's going forward, I mean, I guess nobody universally agrees with anything, this does have the potential to kind of, you know, remove a barrier that has been between the Arch Grounds and the rest of downtown. The garage was one thing that was mentioned, but just the ability to get there easier just might make the entire downtown area just more accessible by foot. And that's the hope, for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, you know, it's a drive-by monument right now, or to, you know, to the point of just park, go. And what this is going to do, it is going to pull more people into, they're going to be able to walk and have something to eat, you know, afterwards. And I think it's going to be huge. And one of the things that's very important to the infrastructure of a downtown, which is walkability and connecting, making all of the attractions easy to get to, park in one place and walk around.
We put a lot of emphasis on perception versus reality, and it occurs to me that with a lot of stuff going on downtown, the library reconstruction included and the Arch and some of the construction that we've talked about, which again I'll reference our map on stlpublicradio.org, it really gives the impression that things are happening in downtown St. Louis, and that in and of itself is going to draw people in, most likely.
Sure.
Yeah. We only have a few seconds left, about a minute. Let me go just quickly through the panel here and get a bottom line about downtown living from you, Rick. Go ahead.
Like I said before, my wife and I enjoy it. I think things are definitely going in the right direction. And listen to Missy and Jason, it makes me even feel even better about it.
Okay. And Missy?
As far as downtown living goes, I would say it will continue to evolve. And I really feel confident that we're going to meet the 2020 goal of 20,000 residents living downtown.
Jason, every place in the world has issues and challenges and setbacks, but there's been a lot in downtown that you could perceive as positive, no matter who you ask. And we'll have to see what the future brings. But, you know, hopefully for city residents, it's positive.
Yeah. Well, for some of us who have been around for a long time, and Ed has alluded to this, we certainly have seen dramatic changes in city living over the course of the last 10, 15 years or so. I want to thank you all so much for being with us. Missy Kelly, thank you.
Thank you.
And keep up the good work with your organization. Jason, you too, one of the best reporters in the entire region, I would say.
Oh, stop.
Okay, I will. You'll never hear it again, Jason. And Rick Worthen, thank you so much for being
You're
with
welcome.
Us. It's good to have you given a perspective of a downtown resident. Good luck to all of you. Thank you. Join Steve Potter tomorrow for Cityscape, when he'll talk about the second production of Union Avenue Opera's presentation of Jonathan Dove's arrangement of Wagner's Ring Cycle, and about Max and Louis Productions' staging of Nikki Silver's The Lions. He'll also remember St. Louis musician Bob Reuter following his untimely death last weekend. Monday on St. Louis on the Air, we'll take a look at biological clocks and how they affect our health and the way we live. Archive versions of past St. Louis on the Air programs are available for download or podcast at stlpublicradio.org. St. Louis on the Air is a production, or is produced, I should say, by Mary Edwards, Alex Hoyer, and Jeremy Bailey, with production assistance from Camille Phillips, Aaron Dorr, and Spencer Reed. The executive producer is Robert Peterson. St. Louis on the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU. Thank you so much for listening. I'm Don Marsh.